Hello, everybody, and welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I think Ryan's walking by the door right now. Ryan, do you want to come say hi to everybody on the podcast? Wait, come here. Come here. This was very unexpected. I was not expecting this right now. Everybody, this is my fiance, Ryan. Say hi.
Hey, everybody. What's the wide in the... Hey,
what? Everyone. What's that? What's what?
Oh, that's the camera.
Okay, Ryan's a little bit distracted right now.
Hey, everybody, what's up?
I was expecting to do a solo podcast today, and then I heard your footsteps outside the door, so I thought might as well have you come in here. Where have you been, and why haven't you been on the podcast, Rhino?
Abby fired me from That's Life, so that's kind of where I've been, just trying to pick up the pieces of my heartbreak and figure out what the next steps are for me in our relationship.
No, Rhino definitely is not kicked off the podcast at all, but it's just been working out. Like, honestly, we don't have an official, like, Ryan's on, Ryan's off. Like,
I miss it.
Yeah, he's just working.
Yeah, I got a lot going on.
Yeah, and now that I have this new job, it's just hard for our schedules to align. Like, really, we'll see each other in the morning whenever I'll drive here and then get ready. I'll start my runs here and then I come back and Ryan's filled up my jug for the day. Up my water bottle jug, and then I don't really know. I don't really know what other like jug there would be, but just to specify, my water bottle. And then I'll leave for work. I start work at 8, and Ryan starts work usually what, like 8:30?
Yeah, I usually get on my computer by 8:30, and then I mean basically just working all day. And then Abby comes home around like noon, 12:30, and then
and make him a wonderful lunch. I make him just the best food ever, always.
Yeah, ever since we moved into the new house, Abby's really been stepping up the food game.
Yeah, anyways, and then we usually see each other for like an hour, but that's my lunch break because then I go back to work from 2 to 5.
Yeah, and then really,
and Ryan works too.
Yeah, and Abby gets all her like workouts and stuff done in the morning, but I am an afternoon person, so I go to the gym.
No, you're a night person.
No, afternoon.
You're not afternoon. Afternoon is like 12 to 4.
No.
What? Okay, what are the times that you go to the gym?
I go usually from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock.
You go from like 4:30 to 7.
No, that's not true at all.
Well, okay, whenever I make you dinner, I have it ready and then you come eat it at like 6:30.
Yeah, so I get done at the gym at like 6.
You consider 6 o'clock p.m. the afternoon?
I would consider 4 to 5:30 afternoon, and then 6 o'clock is probably when it starts getting to evening.
Okay.
And then nighttime is like any time after 9.
Okay, well, we can agree to disagree on that one. I think 6 o'clock is nighttime, but you guys tell us down below if you agree. Anyways, all that to say, we've just been on opposite schedules, and I selfishly am kind of enjoying just being able to like talk. Not that I don't want you here, because it's always way better when you are here, but it low-key feels like...
That's classic like Abby right there. She's but, like, I love doing
no,
this
I'm just,
alone.
I'm just trying to look at the glass half full and be like, it is nice to just talk about literally... Like, I can just talk about literally whatever I want for an hour.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
But there will soon come a day where I come back.
Hopefully. Gosh dang.
Yeah. Guys, if y'all miss me, just let me know. I might make an appearance back.
I want Ryan to share his testimony on here soon. Cause
I have done that before.
Not a full, like, thank you for the hug.
I love you.
I love you
I'll
so
talk
much.
To you later.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. What
Bye,
are you, what,
everybody.
What are you going to do?
I got to go back to work.
Oh, okay. Have fun. Ryan is a sales tech guy. Tech sales guy, not sales tech. Okay, anyways, let me take a sip. Today I'm drinking Evolution Fresh. I tried it. It's really good. This isn't sponsored, but I tried this drink because Olipop is really expensive and they were having a sale on this at Kroger. So let's take a sip. I really like it. I think it's really good. I don't know if it's better for you or worse for you than Olipop, because y'all know I'm an Olipop girl. I love Olipop. I stan Olipop. It's Olipop and me forever, but I think this is cheaper, so it's pretty good. Better than Poppy. I don't like Poppy, but anyways. Hey, guys. It's been a while, hasn't it? Let's chat. My name's Abby Murphy, if you don't know me. That's me now. If you're a first-time listener, this is a podcast. I am a Christian girly talking through life and trying to figure it out. But do I have it all figured out? No, I really don't. I like to run. I am an ex theater girly. Thought I was going to do theater for my entire life. I love to run now. I run marathons. I'm currently training for Boston. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And I'm going to walk you through the story of the time I quit college and decided I wanted to be a runner girly. Yep, this is the time. Now, I've just like told bits and pieces of like, you know, my backstory or my background or like, oh, I thought I was going to do theater for the rest of my life and then I didn't and blah, 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 blah. But I've never like fully walked you guys through like the thought process, everything that went into it and this, that, and the other. And so that's what I'm going to be doing today. But before I do that, I want to go into a little bit of an update. First of all, I want to say a thank you just to everyone that's listened, everyone that's commenting, interacting, engaging, people that are reaching out in DMs, companies and brands that have been just so kind and congratulating Ryan and I on the engagement or me on the Austin Marathon, people that we work with, like just everybody has been so kind, just all across the board. It's been such an enjoyable experience coming into the social media space and like just feeling very welcomed. And I'm so incredibly grateful. I talk with my coworkers at my new job a lot about, you know, just like the social media part of my life, because really like I'll work 8 to 12 there and then 2 to 5 at my other job, which is choreography. And so that like 12 to 2 o'clock hour and then like 5 o'clock until I decide to stop hours is dedicated to working on social media editing. And so it's just a really busy time in my life right now with this choreography job, because it takes a solid like 4 hours out of my day with driving there, staying after, you know, all the things. And so I'm not able to give as much time that I want to into creating YouTube vlogs or even the podcast and making reels. You know, and I try to consistently stay consistent in it as much as I can. But yeah, everyone's been so kind in giving me grace. And so I want to walk you guys through, like, you know, I definitely think that I'm still staying somewhat consistent, or at least I'm trying to stay somewhat consistent in posting. But it definitely is not at the level that I want it to be moving forward. I want to only grow and only be able to put out more content and only be able to connect with you guys more and do like in-person events and host things. And all that is going to come and will come with the Lord's timing and with his blessings and being able to just find the means to be able to do that. You know, Ryan and I don't want this to just stay behind a screen, but for where we are right now, I'm just so thankful that we're able to stay content in knowing that like we have a great support system, and that is you all, and that's the listener, and that's the viewer or the like double tapper on the photo person, or you know, whatever way you engage. We're just thankful for that. So anyways, that's my little spiel. But I wanted to fill you guys in on life. So work's going good. Everything's busy. I graduate March 8th. Ooh, I graduate March 8th. Ooh, that's literally crazy. That's literally crazy. Guys, I'm so flippin' excited. Oh my gosh. So what do I have? Like a week and a half? And then I'll be done forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm done. I'm over it. I've maxed out. I'm going to be honest. I'm behind on a lot of my schoolwork. Yeah, I am. It's just hard. Like I get to the end of the day and then I don't want to do homework, but I do it. And then I get tired and sleepy and I fall asleep. So then I don't. But you know what? The teachers are really nice. I do Liberty Online. So it's been fine. Whatever. But I'm getting through it and I only have like 2 more weeks. And then I'm graduated. So that'll also free up a lot of my time. Thank the Lord. School's going good. Wedding planning's pretty much done. I have my bachelorette this weekend, like my little bachelorette weekend. My sister and I, we were going to go to Disney World, just us two, but we couldn't find a time to go. And it was just way too expensive for the amount of time that we were going to be able to spend there. And so my sister's planned this entire weekend. I have no idea what we're doing. All I know is that I'm going to Nashville, which is an hour from where I live. I'm going to Nashville on Friday after work, and then we're going to hang out. And then Saturday, my bridesmaids are going to come and we're going to do stuff. And then Sunday, I go to church with my sister, and I think Ryan's going to come and he's going to do something, and it's going to be super fun. And then that Monday is Ryan's birthday, and he's going to be 26 years old. So for those of you that don't know, I'm 22. Ryan will be turning 26. So we have a 4-year age gap, which is kind of crazy, because like when you're in high school, that seems kind of like a big gap. But then once you get to that like college age and even like just post grad life and the adult life, it's not like weird anymore. So for my high school girlies and boys that are listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, there are so many years. It doesn't get weird when you're older. It's not weird when you're old. So anyways, all that to say, Ryan's old. Ryan is old, 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 like super old. And I'm like super young. So anyways, we're going to do some fun things. I have some stuff. He doesn't listen to the podcast. So I have some secret things planned for him that he doesn't know about. But I'll fill you guys in on what that is in case he does happen to pop onto this podcast and listen for some strange reason. I'll tell you guys what that is for next week's episode. The spiritual part of my life. Things are going really well. Me and Jesus are pretty tight right now. Which, you know, the relationship, anyone's relationship with the Lord is going to ebb and flow and have highs and lows and be like a roller coaster. And it's never, the Lord is steady and consistent and constant, but like we are not. Therefore, you know, since we're flawed, like it's never just going to be this perfect, steady, like locked in all the time. I'm on fire for the Lord all the time. That's just not reality. And I have expressed in the past how like I've really struggled with getting in the Word and reading my Bible. And I don't know why I don't have the desire to do it, but I just don't. And that started right when I got engaged, which I don't think is a coincidence for anyone that is going into engagement season or is in engagement season. The devil works 10 times harder. Like, I'm just telling you, there are things, like, be on guard, because there are things that didn't bother me about Ryan or temptations that I didn't know I had, and it all revealed itself once we got engaged. There are things that I've never struggled with before, and then all of a sudden now I am. There are irrational thoughts that I've never had before, and now all of a sudden I'm having them. And it's not a coincidence. Like, the devil's going to try to take down any strong relationship that is for the Lord, because that's threatening to him. So, all that to say, I've been reading my Bible a lot and just actively noticing changes within myself. And like, duh, you know what I mean? Like, we wonder why we feel empty or why we're sad or why we feel lost. And then we get in the Word and we're like, oh, I get it now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, duh, of course you're going to feel better when you read your Bible consistently every day. Duh, of course you're going to feel more connected with the Lord. Of course you're going to be able to understand his voice. Of course you're going to be able to like see him all throughout the day 10 times more than you would without reading his Word. Duh, girl, Abby, get it into your head. So that's been really, really good. One thing, total caveat, this is something that I'm just kind of exploring right now in the engagement season, because engagement season has been really, really sweet. We're almost to the wedding day and it's really hard to stay patient, but I'm super, super grateful for the time that we are in and I'm finally able to like enjoy it. I feel like there is a lot of stress that comes with wedding planning that I don't really enjoy planning things all that much that involve like a lot of other people and other companies and like contracts and getting vendors and just it's a lot to plan a wedding. So I'm not always in the best mood when it's time to talk wedding, but I kind of had a heart to heart with myself before my mom and my sister and I all went to Fairhope, Alabama, which is where our wedding venue is. And we were going to have like a wedding planning weekend and like finalize things. I just had a heart to heart with myself. And I was like, what if I just have fun? Like, what if I let myself have fun? And I stop going into it with this pessimistic mindset of like, oh, this is going to stress me out. Like, what if I just had fun? And then once I made that decision to like choose that intention behind what I was doing, my circumstances didn't define my feelings. And that's something that can apply to everywhere in life. But that mindset trickled into every other part of engagement season for me. To where like, yes, it's hard to wait. Yes, I want to live with my fiance, but I'm not going to because we're going to wait till marriage. And yes, I want to, you know, XYZ. I want to get married now. I want to go on our honeymoon now. I want to be Mrs. Luckett right now. Like, oh, can't it just get here? Can't it just get here? But what if I just enjoyed it right now? Like, what if I just had fun? But what if I just had fun? That doesn't necessarily lessen the want for things to happen, but it adds a level of appreciation to where you are now. And so, no, I can't change the timeline. I can't change my circumstances necessarily, but I can change my mindset. I can't. I'm going to have to choose it. It may be hard. I may have to practice it. I may have to put practical things in place to be able to do that, but I can do that. It's a choice. My feelings and my circumstances don't define how I act. I can choose to respond how I need to. And the response can then form my actions, and the actions can then inform my heart and how I feel about these things. And I feel like I'm just kind of going in this like rotation, but it just feels like it's all kind of trickled and merged together to where I'm at this place now where it's like, wedding's pretty much done. Everything post-wedding is pretty much done. I'm just going to enjoy and I'm just going to have fun, because like, it's fun. Like, life is fun. Engagement is fun. Yeah, it's hard, but it's fun. I'm learning more and more about Ryan every day. We're having tough conversations all the time. Not always fun, but always needed. And I'm just super grateful for him. And so it's been awesome. And then lastly, what I want to say is that the Lent season is coming up. If you don't know what the Lent season is, basically it's like this 40-day period before Easter. So Easter is in April. But leading up to Easter, there's Ash Wednesday, which is in March. I think it's March 5th this year. But for those like 40 days leading up to Easter, it's basically like this preparation period. And a lot of churches or denominations will, you know, all fast from something or give up something for the Lent season. And so I don't align with like any certain denomination. I've been to a Methodist church. I've been to a Baptist church. I've been to a non-denominational church. Like, I just go to the church that I feel the Lord wants me to be at that time, and that preaches the gospel, preaches the word. Because at the end of the day, like, if your sermons are rooted in the word, like, I believe Bible. Anything that's in the Bible, that is how I live my life. And so, like, if the church starts there and that's where they're getting their knowledge from, that's all I'm concerned about. So the Lent season is, it started, I grew up in a Methodist church. So the Methodist church goes through the Lent season. So I've just always kind of done it. And then when I went to different churches with different denominations, I just kind of like still kept it up anyways, just because, I don't know, it's just something I really like to do. And so I was thinking about what I wanted to do for March. I kind of wanted to do like a certain challenge, just like realign some goals of mine. I love a good monthly challenge. I love a 30-day challenge. And I was talking to my boss about it today, and he was like, well, why don't you just do it for Lent? And I was like, duh. So if you want to join me, I've made a graphic. I'm going to post it at the beginning of March. And I've outlined it to where it's the same things that I'm doing if you want to do it alongside with me, but I'm posting it to hold myself accountable, because I did 75 hard for like 45 days. I wasn't necessarily concerned about doing it for the full 75 days. I was just concerned about doing it to where then I implemented good healthy habits, which that's what happened. But then once I kind of like was like, okay, I feel in a good place, I'm going to kind of ease off, I kind of like got back into some bad habits. And so I want to just realign it again, but accountability with the Lord, because this is for a season of Lent, and then also accountability with my peeps on social media, I think would be really cool. And I think it'd be awesome if we did it together too. I want to involve the broadcast channel in it and do some check-ins and things like that. So I'm super excited about this little Lent season challenge. So what I'm going to be doing, I still need to finalize it, but I'm pretty sure this is going to be the final list. So I'm going to fast from sweets. I'm not going to do any sweets or desserts or anything like that. No cake, no ice cream, no cookies. I like 95% dark chocolate. I'm still going to have that because like, you're not going to get that in a bakery. You know what I mean? Like 95% dark chocolate. Like, that's not a sweet. It's not. That's a health food. Come on, people. If you want to cut out chocolate, you can. I'm going to keep my 95% because I love it. But yeah, no sweets. I'm going to do, this one's going to be hard, no spending money that isn't a necessity. So like no coffees, unless it's like I'm going to get coffee with a friend and that's an actual activity that we're doing. No like drive-through coffees or conveniency coffees or things like that. Like no going into a gas station and grabbing a granola bar on the drive to wherever I'm going. Like I need to pack a granola bar from home first. No going out to eat because I'm just too lazy to make food and I'd rather just conveniently go buy food. Like, nope, you've got to make it. You know, things like that. No, I need a new sweatshirt. Sorry, do you really need a new sweatshirt? Like, no. So just frivolous things like that, not allowed to do it. Necessities, I am allowed to buy, obviously, like groceries, gas, things like that. Another good example is like a date night. Like, okay, I'll make an at-home date night, or Ryan and I can go on a date and go ride bikes or go on a walk, but we're not gonna, you know, go spend that money. Oh, let's go to the movies. Like, well, you can watch a movie at home for free. So just things like that. Again, not to say those things are bad, but just to save a little money to give up, you know, just some luxuries. Like that is what fasting is. Like you're giving up things and it's gonna feel a little uncomfortable. So no spending frivolous money, no sweets. This is gonna be another hard one, but no social media. And you're probably like, Abby, what? Like your literal job is on social media. Yes, but I doom scroll, people. I doom scroll badly, very, very badly. And I've had it. I'm done. No more. So I have two phones, for those of you that don't know. I have a work phone and then I have my personal phone. And I got the work phone so that I could take all social media apps off of my personal phone so that when I was done with posting and socials and things like that, I could put the phone up and then just have my personal phone so I wouldn't scroll. Well, I kind of abused that a little bit. And just over time, like, you know, TikTok got deleted and all these things, but like, My personal phone still had TikTok and, you know, whatever, the TikTok drama. I forgot my phone when I went to Austin, so I had to film Austin content and upload Austin content for my personal phone. And then I just kept it on there, you know, just things like that, to where I'm right back doom scrolling again. And I have two phones and they have all the same apps on it. So I went back, I deleted all of my social media off my personal phone. So I'm literally posting and then getting off. I am not doom scrolling, not double tapping. I was watching a show last night and I wanted to look up one of the like people on the show and I couldn't. I was like, if I was fasting from social media right now, I wouldn't be able to do that. If I like fully deleted the apps, I wouldn't be able to look it up. So I'm not going to do it now. So for posting purposes only, I will have social media and then I will get off. That is going to be a true test of personal boundaries. But you know what? We're holding each other accountable, so it's going to be fine. So no social media, no sweets, no spending, the three S's. I'm going to stick to a meal plan. What's happening is, and again, it's a flexible meal plan. It's not like it's going to be certain, strict, blah, 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 blah. But what's happening is I am either severely under my calories for the day or severely over, and I'm not eating like consistently throughout the day just because I get busy. And I feel like I kind of come and go in phases of this, but I'm going to stay consistent in it. I need to stay consistent in it because it takes like 30 days to build a habit. I read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true, but Google said it, so whatever. It sounds right though. It sounds legit. Fact check me on that. 30 days to build a habit. If I do a consistent meal plan-ish for 40 days, hopefully I'll gain some consistency in my eating habits at this point. Because I sit here and I'm like, do this, it's healthy. Do this, it's healthy. Do this, it's healthy. Great, awesome. But if you're not staying consistent in it, then like, are you really practicing what you preach? You know what I mean? And I'm calling myself out on this because, yeah, I may eat, you know, healthy meals, but if I'm eating breakfast in the morning and then going all day and not eating and then eating at night and I'm like starving because I've just forgot to eat throughout the day, like, is that really healthy? No, it's not. So staying consistent in that. And I think that's it. Not too much, just a couple of things, but I'm super excited about it. Okay, now it is time to get into Abby. Why did you quit college?
So this dates back all the way to when I was 9 years old. So I moved
from Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I was born, to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Actually, I moved when I was 7, but I started doing theater when I was 9. My first musical was The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Actually, it was a play. It wasn't a musical. My first play was The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. I was 9 years old. I was in third grade. And then my first musical was Seussical that following summer. I was still 9. And I had done 3 shows by then. 3 or 4 shows. And I was like hooked. I mean, I wasn't like naturally born with the ability to sing. And I liked to dance, but I wasn't like incredible or anything. I was actually a really bad singer. But I loved it. I loved it so much. And I will say, like, I do think I had a natural instinct acting wise that a lot of kids, from what I was told, like, it was something in my eyes that, like, I don't know, was just like my eyes were just like big. I don't know what it was. But all that to say, like, there was just something there that, like, oh, I just loved it. Like, I just loved it. And acting came somewhat naturally to me. And so I knew that, like, oh, I think I, like, could actually do this around, I'd say, probably 6th grade. And so I just pursued it. And I decided, like, 5th, 6th grade age, I was like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. No, like, seriously, I'm going to be on Broadway. I'm going to do this. And that's basically the mindset that I had all the way through college until that last year of college. From 9 years old until 20 years old, I thought I was going to do theater for the rest of my life. That's what I ate, slept, and breathed musical theater. Birthday parties, if I had an audition the next day or a rehearsal the next day, I wouldn't go. I missed everything, all fun, like, commitments and things for rehearsal. Sorry, I can't, I have rehearsal. That was like my common response to majority of things. And I loved it. I loved being able to say that. I loved going to the theater every day. It was my safe space. I loved being best friends with my castmates. I loved creating a character. I have books and papers and sheets of just character study research. And, you know, I would take like Enneagram tests for my characters. I would figure out their favorite coffee order. I would draw pictures like they were drawing them. I mean, like, method acting, I was there. Like, you name it, I probably did it, and I loved it. Nothing felt like a chore to me. And growing up, I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want it to come off like cocky or anything or like self-righteous in any way. But I'm just saying this to say, like, the validity of how much I really thought I was going to do this for the rest of my life and how much everybody else thought that I was going to do this for the rest of my life and how that kind of played into how I viewed myself. I was the girl in, like, high school who people were like, oh, she's going to be on Broadway. Like, oh, she's going to, like, most likely to go be famous. Like, oh, that's gonna be Abby. Like, Abby's gonna go get famous and be on Broadway. And just that was like big fish little pond mindset that I had. And I definitely knew that I wanted to be on Broadway, but I had no absolutely no desire to be like famous or anything. I just loved theater so much. I knew that's what I wanted to do. But everyone, not everyone, a lot of people in my life spoke over me like, you're going to go far. Like, you're going to go far in theater. And pursuing it in college was just, you know, that first step. And even like going to college, I felt like I wasn't good enough because I was only going an hour away. Like, I had it drilled into my brain that you had to go to New York and you had to, or you had to be like 10 hours away from home or go to one of the top like 5 musical theater schools or else I'm a failure. And the reality of the fact is, they're all the same. They're literally all the same. They just maybe have different focuses in different areas a little bit, but like training wise, they're pretty much all the same. And at least in my opinion. But I got into Belmont. I got into a couple schools, but I chose Belmont. And I got there my freshman year. And I don't know, that first semester was just hard. It was really, 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 really tough. I almost dropped. I wanted to drop, but I went back that next semester. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to invest everything. And if I still don't like it, then I'll drop. And then I invested my time there and I actually ended up really loving it. I absolutely loved it. I invested in my friends. I got close with people. And then I studied abroad in Hawaii and it was incredible. I absolutely fell in love with Hawaii. It was amazing. Like, I just loved it. I loved everything about it. So then my sophomore year, I came back and I pretty much just went all in on theater. I was sending out auditions like crazy and just go, go, go. I felt so motivated by showing up to rehearsal and I got really, really close with my friends. And I just, it was a great year. It was a great year. I felt very motivated in my classes. And throughout this, I've always had a huge passion for food and exercise and fitness and running. But theater was what I was going to base my career on. And running was the outlet. Running was the thing that just brought me joy and was a release. I would get up every morning, like literally I would go to bed at like 8:30 in college every single night because I would get up at like 4 a.m. I would go run 10, 12 miles and then go to the gym all before my 8 a.m. class. And then I would have classes from like 8 to 2 and then rehearsal from like 2 to 5 and then go eat and then have like choir or another rehearsal from like 6 to 8. And then I would come back, get ready, brush my teeth, go to bed, be asleep by 9, do it all over again every single day, every single day. And it was great until I booked an audition. And so I went to Texas and I did it and I got the job and it was a pretty big opportunity. And so I talked with my professors, I talked with my people at school and I finished the rest of that year online. I left around April of my sophomore year and I went and I did this show and it was a, you know, my first professional gig and with some pretty big names in the theater world. And it was a show about the gospel and I loved it. I woke up every day excited to go to work. I started realizing like, oh, this is like what my life is going to be like post-college. I fell in love with it. I loved it. I loved everything about it. It was so much fun, but I got really consumed in it. So much so that my only community was my theater people. And I've talked about this a little bit on the podcast before, but like, you know, I just didn't have time. I went to church on Sundays and then I would go to the theater. Like I just didn't have time outside of rehearsal to invest in other communities. And so I got really distant from the church community, even though I was still reading my Bible and, you know, going to church and doing these things, I was still distant from people that had the same beliefs as me. And I love all of my theater people, don't get me wrong, but I was one of like 3 Christians. So I didn't really have a lot of those conversations and, you know, talked about the Lord with a lot of other people within the cast. Except I did have my best friend, like the Lord blessed me with this sweet, sweet girl because, and she's engaged now. Yay! Anyways, she was a Christian and like, it felt like the Lord like sent her to me. Like we really relied on each other during that time. All that to say, the show ended and then I went back home because we had to leave. Like I wasn't making any more money. I had to leave. Bye, Texas. Peace out. See you later. I came back and for the first time in my life, I didn't have anything to do with theater. Like I was not doing theater. And I was, I think 19 at the, no, I was 20 at this time because I was about to go into my junior year of college. I was 20. I got a lifeguarding job and I came back and yeah, from the age of 9 to 20, I was just doing theater. And I finally realized what life felt like when I wasn't doing it. And I finally realized how much of a robot I was operating like. How every single minute of my day was micromanaged. And if I wasn't doing something to push me forward in my career, or if I wasn't doing something, looking up an audition, or you know, going to a voice lesson, stretching, or dancing, or working on my portfolio, or all these things, if I wasn't doing something to push me forward in some way to help benefit my career, then I was a failure. I realized how much of that I was thinking as I was like getting stripped of all of it. And then I realized how happy I was when I didn't have that kind of like constant lingering pressure. And this isn't to say everyone has this similar experience, but I will say that like the theater world, I mean, I spent a lot of my time in the theater world, and I think I can speak on everyone's behalf when I say it is such a wonderful but stressful career to have, because unless you have like a super long contract, you're kind of always searching for a job. You're kind of always auditioning. And for some people, that's great. The adrenaline rush of it is great. But for someone like me, who is so perfectionist mindset, it can also be like a really big weight. And I kind of just got used to this constant feeling of anxiety that I didn't even know I had. But I had just become so workaholic that like I was feeding off of it. And when I didn't have that anymore and I was stripped of it, I realized how I could just exist and I didn't have to like prove myself. I didn't have to attach my worth to my talent. I didn't have to find my identity in what auditions I got and what jobs I booked. I realized that I can just sit and that's okay. That I can just be content with reading a book. That I don't have to use every waking hour to perfect my craft. I can just go laugh with my friends and have fun. And even though that doesn't push me forward career-wise, it fills my cup. And that's not selfish. You know, I started realizing all these things. On top of, I was surrounded by people who were also believers. And I realized how distant I had gotten from the Lord when I was in Texas, but how I didn't realize it because I didn't have people speaking similar beliefs and that truth into my life. And, you know, there were decisions that I made in Texas that I was hiding behind the fact that, oh, well, you know, it isn't in the Bible that I can't do this, so I'm going to do it. But I was hiding behind that when ultimately, like when I came back from Texas and I was filled with the Holy Spirit and like realigned with that again, I like looked back on those decisions and I was like, what the heck? I would have never done that. Like I would have never done that. You know, when I was in Texas, I experienced a breakup and my way of coping was not great. Again, like I didn't do anything that was like horrible, but I just, you know, I like flirted and flirting isn't bad, but like I just flirted in a way that I was like, you know, just like there was no intention behind it. Like it wasn't to lead anywhere. It was like just for fun. And that's not something I would do. And I was just doing it because I just was lost, but I didn't realize it. I'm spinning in circles now, but I'm just trying to like, this is what I was realizing when I came back home, was like, oh my gosh, how distant I had gotten. So that summer ended, I went back to school and I was excited about it. And then just the more that school went on, I became really sad. And I was just like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to be in this theater right now. I don't want to dance. I don't enjoy singing. And it was that was weird. Like that was weird because I never felt like that. I've never stepped foot in a theater and not wanted to be there. But then I remember going to see a show in my hometown with Ryan. I had started dating Ryan at this time. And we went and saw a show together. And I just felt so convicted. It was a show that I've loved for a while. I sing the songs all the time. Like, I just thought it was great. And I felt so convicted watching it. And there were certain, like, crude and vulgar jokes in the script and in the show that like would be said or done in the show if it was like an action, and everyone in the auditorium was just laughing, and I got the most eerie feeling, not to like place blame on others because like I too had seen that show before and thought it was so funny and didn't think anything of it, but for some reason this new view of it had like come into my brain in some way. And I just went around and like scanned the audience, and it was, y'all, I don't even know how to explain it. Like it was the most eerie feeling of like all of these people could be witnessing the Lord and his goodness and be filled with his truth. And yet we're laughing at someone flashing the audience, or I don't know what happened, but like something of that extent. And I was just like, I felt so convicted. And that was like a turning point for me of like, I sat with myself, because I had sent in an audition to be in the show at some point or another that I'm talking about. And I just sat with myself and I was like, if I got offered to be in the show, I would turn it down. And that was a wake up call for me of like, what am I working towards? Why am I doing this? There are very few shows that I would say yes to. And in an industry that is so hard to make it in, you kind of have to say yes to anything you get. And I'm not willing to do that. And if I'm not willing to do that, I've got to find a way to live and make money. And it's not going to be this way. And just all these things kind of started piecing themselves together. And then that was backed up with, I started training for a marathon. And then those runs were the only happy parts of my day. Those were the only things that I was excited about. You know, I chose to start training for my first marathon because I was sad at school. I didn't want to be there anymore. And I needed something to make my days worthwhile. And so I started training for a marathon. And I did my first marathon that junior year of college. And I fell in love with it. And I was like, I'm doing this forever. Kind of like the same thing with theater. But then as time went on, I just started performing for a grade. That was the only reason why I was doing it, was just to get a good grade. You know, when you're a music major, you get graded on like singing, acting, dancing. And I didn't like doing any of it. I mean, none of it. And the year prior, I loved all of it. It's just so weird how the Lord just shifted my heart's desires. And I just really, really struggled that year. I became pretty sad when I was at school. My friends are incredible. The people in at school are incredible. My class, incredible. They helped me through literally everything. Like, I could not have gotten through that year without my class, without Ryan, without the people in the musical theater program, my teachers. I would sit, I had like one-on-one classes with our acting teacher at Belmont, and my one-on-one lessons with him, I would just sit and cry and talk with him. And it was like a therapy session, but those were some of the most pivotal moments that I had. I would talk with my voice teacher about it. Oh my goodness, bless her heart. She was the best encourager, and she really wanted it for me because she knew, I don't want to put words in her mouth or anything, but like, I knew she wanted it for me because I came in this bright-eyed and bushy-tailed girl who wanted this. It's like it was like a motherly instinct of like, I want you to follow your dreams. But my dreams had just changed. And that was all because of the Lord. But my professors, everyone was so kind. No one was ever mean. Like, this decision never had to do with people. It was the Lord. And so I went back home in the winter and I was like, I just really don't want to do this. But like, I have 3 semesters left. I have like 12 credits left. I was super, super ahead, like really, really ahead. And so I decided not to do a show that spring semester of my junior year. And instead I taught choreography at my local high school that I went to at the time, but the local high school in Bowling Green. So I started living at home and then I would commute to school. I choreographed the show at home and that counted for school credit. So I was still taking like a full class load, but I was commuting. And I did that and it was pretty good. The commute was hard, you know, Nashville and back every day is pretty hard, but I did it and I was way more happy. I was so happy. I loved choreographing. Incredible. So then, you know, it was time to schedule for classes again. And I for my senior year, I had like 8 credits left. But when you're a music major, you have to take a lot of like 0 credit courses. So even though I only had to take like 3 actual legitimate classes, I still had to go to rehearsals and lessons and just things that were really, really time consuming. And, you know, then go to all these auditions. And, you know, I had already told myself, like, I'm not going to do musical theater after this. Like, I'm going to work at the church, or I'm going to find a job in fitness, or, you know, I'm going to continue posting on social media, because then I started posting on social media and I really enjoyed it and loved it. And so I was like, I'm definitely not going to use this major, but I might as well finish because I'm a senior, like whatever. I have like a couple classes to do. But then I put it into perspective and I was like, I'm still going to be doing all the same stuff though. I'm still going to be, you know, having to go to choir for 0 credits, for rehearsal for 0 credits, planning my senior show for 0 credits, voice lesson, acting, I mean, all of these things that I still was going to do. And it was so hard to get me to do them the semester prior. And yet I still wanted to follow through because, you know, I wanted to finish my major. I wanted to finish the degree. And that summer, I just like put a lot of stuff into perspective. I was so happy when I wasn't thinking about school and when I wasn't at school. And anytime I thought about going back to school, instant anxiety. I was so sad. I didn't want to do it. I would cry every time I had to go to Nashville. I never wanted to be in Nashville, even if it wasn't school related, because all I thought about was school. Like, it like ate me up inside. I didn't want anything to do with it because I knew how unhappy I was. And so I was like, what if I just transferred? What if I finished online? What if I like changed my degree? I explored a lot of options. Belmont doesn't offer online, so I knew I would have to change schools. So I looked at Liberty because Liberty has a really good online program. But Liberty doesn't have a musical theater online degree. So then I would have had to change my degree. And I would have had to take a lot more classes because you can only transfer up to so much of your transcript from one school to the next. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Whatever. I'll be miserable for a year. I don't care. And then I just kept thinking about it. And I just like my heart, it was just like, you can't go back. And I was in Costa Rica during like a week in the summer. And it like hit me. We were walking on the beach with my family. I was talking with my mom and I was like, the thing that's holding me back from not transferring, because I knew I wanted to finish a degree. I didn't care if it was musical theater or not, but the thing that's holding me back is what other people will say. Because then I'm going to be known as the girl who dropped out of college. I'm going to be known as the girl who didn't end up conquering her dreams because they were too hard for her. I ended up being the girl that couldn't make it in musical theater because it was too cutthroat. That's what they're going to think. And I don't want people to think of me as weak. I want people to think of me as really, really good, that I just chose not to do it. But if I drop from college, then they're not going to think that. I mean, it was just all these really prideful things. And I was like, when I get to heaven, Jesus isn't going to be like, great job for pushing through. Great job for getting BFA in musical theater. Great job for not letting anybody think you're weak and spending another year being miserable so that you could have a little degree that you're never going to use. Like, great job. I'm so proud. I was like, who am I trying to please? Because I'm trying to please man right now. And that means I'm worshiping man. If I'm trying to please others, I'm idolizing what they think above what the Lord thinks. And the Lord doesn't care. The Lord doesn't care about what my degree says. The Lord doesn't care if I have a degree. The Lord doesn't even care my grades. Now, he wants us to try. He wants us to work hard. But like, he doesn't want me to be miserable. And he was obviously laying on my heart that I'm not supposed to do this. And so when I finally came to terms with the fact being the only thing that's keeping me in this is trying to prove to other people that I'm not a failure, it was over for me. I was like, I'm out. I'm so out. And that was hard and that was scary. But I made the decision. I went through the steps and I've never been happier. I remember just being so fearful. What if I regret it? What if I regret it and then I can't go back? What if I regret it? And I blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it for a semester. But what if I regret it? Then I'll be behind. And if I'm behind, then blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I wish I could sit here and be like, do this. And then you won't feel like you're going back and forth. But like, you just kind of have to do scary things. And so I just did it. And I was scared. I was terrified. I thought I was going to regret it. I thought I was going to be sad. I thought I was going to, you know, see all my friends accomplishing their goals and then be like, oh, that could have been me. And I thought, so many things. And then I realized that was the devil putting that in my head. Because you know what? I've never been happier. I've never been happier than doing what I'm doing right now. I've had 2 amazing jobs. I'm working 3 right now. I run every day. I'm training for races constantly, which has always been a passion of mine. I literally love running. I love running. It's so much fun. And I get to do it all the time. I'm getting married. I'm getting a degree. I have the job of my dreams working for this corporate wellness company. I absolutely love it. I get to serve at church. I had a wonderful time working for the church. I don't regret it. Is it different? Yeah. Do I miss it? Occasionally, but honestly, not really. But I'm happy for my friends. I'm not wishing I was them, you know? And I just wish I would have realized it sooner, because I struggled so much trusting the Lord, because I knew the Lord was placing these desires of leaving school on my heart. But since I couldn't see the outcome of his plan, I didn't trust it. And I tried to find other ways out. And being miserable but knowing the outcome was more appealing to me than being happy and not knowing the outcome. And that's just because I'm a control freak. But like, we've got to let go. Gosh darn it, we've got to let go and let God. I mean, seriously, as silly and cliche as it sounds, like, that is so true. And so I'm here to say, like, if you're questioning something or you've just been thrown a complete curveball in your life, you like don't know what to do and you are major struggling, or you do know what to do, but you don't want to do it because it's the unknown, or you're afraid you're going to regret it, or you're afraid what other people are going to think. You can always go back. You can always go back. You may not be able to go back to your exact position and circumstance, but like, you weren't happy in that to begin with. So there's got to be change in some way. So you can always go back to something similar. You can. Even if you don't believe it, you can. I don't know how to prove that to you, but you can. If I wanted to go back and finish my degree in musical theater, I could. Would it be at Belmont? I don't know, but I could get in somewhere and I could do it. I could. Would it be harder? Maybe, but I could. But like, you can never you can always go back, but you can't always, you know, take that chance again. You know, that option's not always going to be there. Like, I'm sitting here about to get married and I'm mentally so strong as to where if I were in school right now, I don't know how I'd be mentally. I don't even know if I'd still be in a relationship with Ryan, because like, emotionally, I was not able to be. Thank goodness that he stayed with me, because I was not an emotionally stable partner. And that just goes to show how amazing he is. But specifically speaking, if you're questioning things about school, be honest with yourself and ask yourself how much you're placing what others think about you into your decisions across the board, but especially for school. I feel like school has just become this, and college has just become this super big, like, end all be all decision. But like, in my personal opinion, it's just a stepping stone. I think it's really important. I know it's becoming more and more popular not to go to college. And I don't think college is a scam by any means, but I think you can get a pretty good experience just about anywhere. Because what I learned from college was things socially, was making connections. Yeah, I get a degree, great. And it's important for me to get a degree because that's my goal. But do I think you have to have a degree to succeed? Absolutely not. Is it going to be a lot easier and give you a leg up? Yeah. Is that important to me? I mean, yeah. Like, it does give me validity when I go into a job that I have a degree. Like, I'm going to be honest, that's just the world that we live in. But do I think it's becoming less and less common for a bad reason? No. Like, people are just starting to realize, like, the world is changing. And so no matter what your goals are, get a degree, don't get a degree, like, that's up to you. Who cares what other people say? But for school specifically, across the board, I firmly believe that it has become way too big of a end-all be-all decision. Like, we are literally trained now in high school to take classes to fit and mold us into what we're going to do in college. But like back in the day, college was where you figured out what you wanted to do. You didn't have to figure it out before you went there. Like, we change in college. So honestly, like, if you're looking for a college right now, I would look for somewhere that it's easy to change your major and that emphasizes exploration rather than figuring out what you want to do. Because I was so certain that I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And look at where I am now. I mean, I literally went to like conservatory style teaching, and now I'm getting an interdisciplinary studies major with a emphasis in health sciences. I dedicated, 12 years of my life to musical theater, and now I'm a runner? What? Like, that's just crazy. All that to say, embrace the curveball, people. Like, you never know where it could take you. But the Lord does. It's just up to us whether we trust it or not. And don't let the devil come in and fill you with doubts. Don't let the devil take away something that could be breakthrough for you. Because you can't see the outcome. That's not fair to you. That's not fair to God. God has your best interest. So if he's placing these desires in your heart, you know it's for your good. That's all I have for you today. The end. Hey, I love you guys. Let me know you want me... What? Words? Okay. Let me know... Anyways, let me know what you want me to talk about next week. I'll do a little Ryan birthday recap. I'll do a little Lent recap. Follow us on That's Life Poddy, P-O-D-D-Y, Instagram. Ryan and Abby on TikTok. Ryan and Abby on... Or maybe it's Abby and Ryan. It is Abby and Ryan on TikTok. Talk. Why can't I talk? What is going on? Abby and Ryan on YouTube. I will get back to the vlogs. I will. I just got a new job. It's hard right now, guys. It's just hard. But don't worry. There's more to come from you, girl. I love you. Jesus loves you. And that's life.